From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Newly obtained documents by the ACLU from the Department of Homeland Security reveal horrific abuses of undocumented children in American custody under Barack Obama's presidency. More than 30,000 pages of documents dated between 2009 and 2014 were obtained through Freedom of Information Act requests and analyzed. The resulting report, which was just released by the ACLU, show, quote, pervasive abuse and neglect of unaccompanied immigrant children. The abuses include federal officials violating children verbally, physically, and sexually, denying them food, water, and even medical care. If such abuses occurred under the Obama administration, immigrant advocates are deeply concerned about what could be happening now under Trump, especially since the government has declared an official policy of separating children from their parents at the border. My guest is Mitra Abadolahi. She is the ACLU Border Litigation Project staff attorney. Welcome to the program, Mitra.
Thank you for having me.
So first, how did these documents come to the ACLU? FOIA requests are not easy to do, and they take years. I'm assuming that the original request was probably made a long time ago?
That's correct. Our original FOIA request under the Federal Freedom of Information Act was submitted to the Department of Homeland Security in December of 2014. The government did not timely respond to that request, which led us to file a FOIA lawsuit in February of 2015. Subsequently, the presiding district court issued a number of deadlines, some of which the government missed. And over the next 2 years, we obtained the majority of the documents that are now being published for the first time. So between 2015 and 2016, we received the majority of the documents that are now at issue.
So what is the what is the context for these abuses? We're talking basically about children who are in custody of the government without their parents present. Would these have been children separated from their parents, or children who arrived alone across the border, or both?
So these documents primarily date to, as you noted, the period between 2009 and 2014. Most of them are from the period of 2014, during which time there was a rise in the number of unaccompanied migrant children who were arriving at the southern U.S. border without a parent or legal guardian. Those children either approached U.S. Customs and Border Protection officers or were apprehended by Border Patrol agents and taken into CBP custody. And the documents in question reflect complaints that document allegations of significant child abuse from the point of apprehension through detention and deportation.
Wow. Let's talk about some of these abuses that the documents revealed. I mean, it's a huge number of documents. So I'm assuming it took a long time to analyze all of them. Some of them, of course, had sections redacted. But the kinds of abuses were pretty severe. Can you give us, and this was very hard to read when you think about this being done to children. I mean, it's horrific when it's done to adults, but children, can you give us some examples of the kinds of abuses children faced?
Yes, and you're right. It is a very difficult series of documents to read. Yesterday, we published in collaboration with the University of Chicago's International Human Rights Clinic a report that focused on one subset of the records that we received. So we have a total of over 30,000 pages. One subset of those documents was produced to us by the Department of Homeland Security's Office for Civil Rights and Civil Liberties, CRCL. That is an oversight agency which is supposedly charged with receiving and investigating civil rights complaints. The documents show various forms of verbal abuse, and the report does a really good job of highlighting the specifics. the verbal abuse, for example, calling immigrant children in custody names like dogs or garbage, telling a group of detained pregnant migrant women, migrant minor women, telling them that their children would, quote, contaminate this country, threatening children in custody with rape or death, coercing the migrants, minors to sign forms in English, which they don't understand, shooting underweight minors with tasers and stun guns. There are at least two incidents in the documents, the CRCL documents, of minors being run over by Border Patrol agents in vehicles, causing serious injuries. There is a case in which Border Patrol agents subjected a 16-year-old girl to a sexually violent search where they forcefully spread her legs and touched her genitals so hard that she screamed. There are also numerous documents that show the detention of migrant children in excess of the legally allowed 72-hour maximum period in CBP detention. CBP detention facilities are not structured for detention that is longer term. They lack basic amenities and are not suitable for detention in excess of 72 hours. The documents show that CBP detention routinely exceeded 72 hours, that the children were held in freezing cold, overcrowded, and unsanitary cells, that they were not given adequate or edible food. There are numerous reports of frozen food, spoiled food, migrants being given spoiled milk for their infants, which then made the infants ill, migrants being given water that was undrinkable because it tasted so strongly of chlorine, migrants not being provided with bedding or necessary medical care, migrants being having their medications taken away from them. This is all documented in the documents that we've received.
I understand there were also some instances of children being punched and kicked.
That's correct. There's one case that's highlighted in the report of an allegation where a child who was apprehended by a Border Patrol agent recounted the agent putting on a glove and hitting the child in the mouth, causing bleeding. There are numerous reports in the documents of children who allege that they were kicked in the stomach or punched in the face or in the head and otherwise physically abused. The report lays out the relevant and operative rules that allegedly govern CBP in its exercise of authority. So for example, on apprehension, Customs and Border Protection is the largest law enforcement agency in the country. It is subject, as are all law enforcement agencies, to rules governing the use of force. Such force is only to be used if necessary, and the level of force must be reasonable in context. So these documents show violations of those rules. For example, children who are already subdued being hit or kicked, et cetera, et cetera.
Just to reiterate, lest anybody think in this climate that we live in today of extreme anti-immigrant sentiment, that what we're talking about right now happened under President Obama, when lip service was paid to immigrant rights. So how is it that this sort of stuff happened? Was there any accountability, as far as you can tell, for any of these what sound like crimes, you know, if not violations of the CBP's own rules, really crimes?
Yes, well, there certainly are violations of at least three different federal laws that are at least the allegations indicate that there were violations of at least three federal laws: the Prison Rape Elimination Act, the Victims of Child Abuse Act, and also our Immigration and Nationality Act. The trouble is that the documents that we've obtained do not indicate any meaningful disciplinary action or other form of accountability for these alleged abuses. In a statement issued yesterday, Customs and Border Protection responded to our report by claiming that all of our cases were unfounded and solely allegations, to which I would respond that 30,000 pages of the government's own documents recounting abuse after abuse after abuse throughout the entire Southwest of the United States, from California to Texas, over a period of years, episode after episode submitted by children who have no relationship to each other, who aren't in contact with one another, and the level and the consistency of the kind of abuse that's being alleged is such that I think that there's a real indication of truth. And the records that we obtain do not show any meaningful discipline or accountability. Mm-hmm. Now, the Office of Inspector General, the DHS Office of the Inspector General, conducted site visits in 2014 for CBP detention facilities. And as part of their response to our report, they laud that campaign of site visits and say, we looked into this and we found these allegations were unsubstantiated. So they stopped routine site visits in October 2014. The crazy thing about that is, subsequently, a group of immigration advocates have filed a class action lawsuit challenging CBP detention conditions, and in the process of litigating that case, have obtained photographs that show current recent instances of freezing, unsanitary, overcrowded cells that document detainees not being provided with food, water, or medical care, of verbal and physical abuse. And so,
There is evidence of this happening under Trump right now.
Well, there's evidence that there has been no change in CBP's modus operandi. This is not a partisan issue. This is a question of a structural lack of accountability within the Department of Homeland Security for CBP, which is the largest federal law enforcement agency in the country. And that has been true in the previous administration, and it certainly continues to be true today, in an environment, in a climate, in a political climate where the President of the United States has tried to further embolden these federal immigration officers to act with impunity.
Right. And of course, you know, referring to MS-13 gang members as animals, which of course in the mind of Trump's base, many of whom might be in the CBP, it's interchangeable, you know, all undocumented immigrants interchangeable with MS-13 gang members, with that policy that I mentioned of separating children from parents at the border now. Trump has sent such a clear message to the country that immigrants are not real human beings, that it's okay to give them this subhuman status. So finally, then, are there any sort of pieces of litigation? Are there lawsuits, Mitra, that the ACLU has launched that, because you might not be a citizen doesn't mean you suddenly lose your human rights once you cross the border. So are there any lawsuits challenging CBP's treatment of undocumented kids and people in general?
Absolutely. There are, as I mentioned before, there is one lawsuit that's currently pending. The ACLU is involved in that lawsuit, but so are a number of other immigrants' rights organizations. It's being litigated out of the District of Arizona about challenging conditions of detention in CBP detention facilities. That's one. A second lawsuit, which is currently in litigation by the ACLU, challenges the new policy of family separation, taking children away from their parents and other guardians at the border, a practice which pediatricians have said amounts to a form of torture for children because of their development and the way that that impacts them long term. We continue to litigate the FOIA request that is at the base of this case, of the case that led to these reports. The government has tried to withhold the names of agents who against whom allegations were made, which again, I think, underscores how little they care about true accountability. The court has ordered that those names should be released, and instead of releasing them, the government has filed an appeal to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals to try to avoid having to release that information. So it's an ongoing struggle to try to hold CBP accountable and to improve transparency within this black hole of an agency. And it's one that has significant consequences, real life implications for some of the most vulnerable members of our communities.
Mitra, give out a website where people can read the report that you mentioned earlier, as well as even maybe go through some of the documents that I know the ACLU has made publicly available.
That's correct. So if folks would like to go to our website, it's www.aclusandiego.org. There is a link on that homepage to the pages where the report is published. We've also published an appendix of the documents that are referenced in the report. In addition, we have started the process of publishing all 30,000 pages of records that we've received so far. Yesterday, we published the CRCL documents, all of them, not just the ones in the appendix, which form the basis for the report. At the end of June, we will publish the next group of documents, which is about 15,000 pages from CBP itself, and includes audio files of coercive interviews by CBP Wow. officers of children.
Well, Mitra, I want to thank you so much for your work. We link to that information from our website as well. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for your interest.
My guest is Mitra Abdollahi. She is the ACLU Border Litigation Project staff attorney. We've been discussing newly released documents showing the widespread abuse of undocumented kids in U.S. custody under the Obama administration. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.